Hope you all continue to survive the Christmas season. It goes on, actually, for Catholics, you know, all the way up to, you think I'm going to say the Epiphany. Well, actually, according to the Franciscan model, it goes up until February 2nd. I know, you're thinking February 2nd is Groundhog Day, and of course it is, my hometown. But it's also the feast of the presentation of the Lord in the temple, which we just heard about in the Gospel. And Simeon and Anna made these predictions about what this child would become for us all. And so in a Franciscan parish, there is a plenary indulgence that is available to anybody who approaches the creche in a Franciscan-run parish, here we are, between now and February 2nd, the Feast of the Presentation, and you pray for the intentions of the Holy Father, as well as for your own intentions or the holy souls in purgatory, and pray for the Holy Father. I don't know what is about with this blessing of couples. You know, couple in the Italian, when it came out, the connotation of it, of couple, in Italian means you're an item, you're in love, you're intimacy. I was watching someone on a YouTube, a young priest who was trying to explain couple and what a magnificent document this is that you can bless couples in a gay relationship. And he said, well, you know, you bless a couple of loaves of bread, you bless a couple of cars in a parking lot. Not talking about that kind of couple. The priest obviously did not know that. But it isn't something that is part of Revelation as we know it. It's part of society, which is going to hell in a handbasket, if you ask me, not that you did. But I think in order to be faithful to what the church teaches, we are the extension of Jesus Christ in time and space. I know some of you may have people in your families who are involved in that particular lifestyle, and you may be invited to weddings where there is going to be a blessing or whatever. As a Catholic, you know, you're really not supposed to attend that because it is sanctioning, and yes, people are going to get up and leave. That's the cost of discipleship. But it just so happens that you can't be a party to that because it says that you approve. You can't bless a sodomy, plain and simple, or any kind of relationship that goes on to that physicality. Man and a woman, sexual intercourse, two to make a child, or twins, in my case, I have a twin sister. So, yes, I've gotten pushback. Yes, I'm going to hear about it. It goes with the territory. I don't know what I'm going to do to tell you the truth, because we do not have gay couples bring their children to this school, because it's giving bad example. They might be lovely people and wonderful and do all kinds of things. It's just that in the scriptural revelation, it's something that is not supposed to be done. It's outside of everything that has been revealed of how we are to live in a family. There's all kinds of exceptions, I know, but this is one that is cannot be sanctioned. I'm just waiting for a gay couple to come and say they want to put their children in our Catholic school. And what am I going to say whenever they say, but the Pope said you could bless? Well, it's not going to happen in this parish. It's against my conscience. I can't go with that. I don't know what the Pope is about. He has other things on his mind, obviously, and he's listening to other voices. That's his business. But whenever you say a prayer in the creche, you especially pray for the Holy Father. God knows we all need prayer. And pray for the people that are persecuted, especially clergy and certain bishops, like Bishop Strickland, who has been cast aside because he spoke up for the truth. I have to tell you what is happening since this came out a week ago. There's a lot of priests now that are being persecuted in the public arena because couples are coming up and asking for this. Well, you see, the danger is that it's going to turn into a ritual. Now, this has already happened in some Protestant churches. Oh, it's okay, we're just going to give them a blessing. Within a year, it has become what we would call a sacrament. In Germany already, blessing of gay couples is a ritual that the German bishops have come together and written and are sanctioning. And God help the German parish priest who refuses to give it. He's going to lose his parish. Strange times we live in, full of the enemy's busyness, but going against what the church teaches. So I understand there is the marketplace, and I understand that there is the kingdom of God. You have to make a choice where you're going to live and where your values are. You have to be inside of the kingdom of God. You were baptized to be part of the kingdom of God. And know this, if you have a child or know of children that are not Baptist, they are more subject to the enemy because they have not been baptized. Baptism is this metanoia change that goes on in the soul, kissed by the Holy Spirit, an indelible mark that is always there. Parents forming a family, whenever you are married in the church, the third promise is, will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church? And you say yes. You've already said yes twice. Are you here of your own free will? Do you mean to keep your vows? And then you're supposed to see that the child is catechized, is baptized, Eucharisted, goes to confession, and what the church teaches about that, confirmed. You get married inside of the church. You don't live together without being married. It's a sin. It's called fornication. In some cases, if you're having sexual relationships with someone who is married and you're single, it's called adultery. Or two married people, but not to each other, that are having sex, they're having intercourse. It's called adultery. And I know this sounds terribly unsophisticated, and as one member recently told me, that's all very quaint, but that was then, this is now. Well, it's the same old morality. One of the things Blessed Mother said in her apparitions, I think it was in Peru in the 16th century, look it up, called Our Lady of Good Success. She predicted that in the 20th century and the 21st century, imagine that long ago she said this, men would want to be women and women would want to be men. Men would dress up like women and women would dress up like men. What is immoral today, meaning the 16th century, will not be of value in the 20th and 21st. What is immoral today, she said in the 16th century, will be considered morality in those days. She said there will be great apostasy, meaning abandoning of the faith. The church will become smaller. She promises, however, that there will be a remnant, just as God promised in Genesis, that as time went on, the church would grow and then it would ebb and flow, depending on the heresies that were going on in the day. But there would always be a faithful remnant. That, of course, means a small group. It's a small group who holds to the truth of what the church teaches. So yes, you can lose friends over this. Yes, relatives don't talk to each other. Yes, you can be called all kinds of names or disenfranchised or abandoned or whatever else goes on. Well, Christ was. What happened to him when he spoke the truth? He said, what happened to me are going to happen to you. It's called persecution. You should know, as I said, that in Germany, it's already considered a ritual. The next thing for it to be declared a sacrament. It's already happened in the Protestant churches. It's happening in the Anglican church. It's only a period of time because that can happen for us. So this is where the rubber hits the road, folks. This is where you divide the men and the boys, so to speak, as patriarchal as that sounds. This is where, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, it's called conviction to take a stand. Now, in order to take a stand, you've got to feed the faith. Faith means to take a stand, according to Thomas Aquinas. The way you do that is for your prayer life. That means you pay attention to the beating of the heart. You pay attention to your intuition, what you know is right. You know it in your bones, what the church teaches. There's going to be this enclave, if you will, like an ocean wave of people who go against that. It's always happened, it always will. It seems that hell has been emptied out, at least according to the apparitions of Medjugorje and Akita. It seems that the devil is very apparent in the world because more and more people have abandoned any kind of faith, particularly in Jesus Christ. And so the immorality of the society takes over. And this can, because of AI, invade the home because of computers. It's lauded in newspapers and talk shows, podcasts. It's coming at us all the time. And after a while, according to my neighbors and people in my family, I do feel like, is it only me that's thinking this? I must be wrong. It's always happened to people of faith. It always will. But Jesus comes to save us from that kind of compromising of the faith. He did not compromise what he had to do on the cross for us. And so it's time for us to really decide, who am I? Who are we as a Catholic faith? Obviously, you can't look to certain church authorities for someone who's going to back up what I would call the faith of our grandparents or the faith that was taught to me. Strange times, strange days. I suppose we could say they mean well. Well, I don't know how people eschew what the truth is for the sake of pandering to a certain majority of people in our world who are more of the flesh than of the Holy Spirit. There's always been combat going on. We are a family. Family comes from the Latin word phalum. Phalum means servant. That means in your family, you are servants to each other. But wait, there's more. You read about Sirach and especially Colossians today. Hey, children. Hey, teenagers. Hey, young people. You have a responsibility in your families, according to Sirach and Colossians today, to be a servant to your parents and your grandparents. Sometimes I think children, it's my thought, get the idea, as some parents hover and do everything for their child, that they have to do very little. I hear all the time, children will confide to me in different venues, I don't like doing chores. I don't like this and I don't like that. You know, if I had said that to my parents, my face would be so rearranged it would be on the back of my head. You do what you're supposed to do. Children, you are supposed to be obedient to your parents. You have a responsibility to listen to the wisdom that they have that was talked about in Sirach and in Colossians today. Have the wisdom to listen, because their job is to form you as to how to be a good person and get to heaven. You realize, children and teenagers and young people, your parents have a responsibility to get you to heaven. But after a while, that responsibility, well, maybe it can be relaxed because once you're an adult, you're on your own. I don't think so. I think for the rest of our lives, the patriarchs and matriarchs pray for the salvation of their progeny, of their children, grandchildren, children, any children that are out there. And so many are being inundated. I mean, to actually have someone say to me at a wedding, first of all, he comes up with his drink in his hand and he says, do you know what's wrong for the church? And I say, no, but I'll bet you're about to tell me. And they'll say that they're involved in a certain situation right out, maybe two sheets to the wind, I don't know, that they have stolen something and continue to steal, but they're not being paid what they should be, so nothing's wrong with stealing. What do you say to that? And I said to them, please don't tell me you went to a Catholic school. Oh yeah, 8 years at St. Andrew's and 4 years of Nolan. See, it doesn't matter where you go. In the best of situations, there is an invasion of the negative, of the compromising, of the rationalization. In the best of families, it happens. You can pour yourselves out and go into hock, getting your kid a good education somewhere, especially in a Catholic school, and still be influenced by things that are not have anything to do with what the sacred scriptures tell us, how we're supposed to live. Parents, read Sirach. It was written at a time a couple of hundred years before Christ when the Jews were surrounded by a lot of pagan nations. And the young people among the Jews wanted to emulate them. They wanted to live like them. And they thought that the covenant keeping was quaint and out of date. And so Sirach comes along. He was a priest. And he wrote, "Hey parents, this is how you keep your children inside of the covenant. This is how you keep your family inside of what we would call church teaching today. Read Sirach. It's how to raise a child and how to continue to teach and confront them when something they are doing is not appropriate. Confrontation is a ministry of caring. Confrontation in the marketplace is, I'm in your face. And who's got the power? Confrontation in parenting and family is, I speak my truth in love. We are servants to each other. That includes the children in service to their parents and the household and the responsibilities that they have, as well as the parents and grandparents who well know, because you're intelligent people and educated, and you know what our responsibilities are. And in spite of that, we can still be tempted to compromise because everybody else is doing it." It goes on and on and on. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. But we're being challenged more and more and more as a family. We are a family of servants. First and foremost, we have a servant king, Jesus Christ. He came to serve us. It's on the cross. It started with the crib. He continues to draw us to service when we receive Holy Communion. Crib, cross, communion forms us to go out and to be servants. Servants of Jesus Christ, which means what we serve in our modeling, in our speech, in our behavior, in our choices, things that belong to the children of the light, in order to serve the people who are people in darkness. That's our mission. You want to know what is expected of servant families, which is what we all are as a Catholic people? Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lady at Akita and again at Medjugorje have said, you want to know what God expects of you as a spouse or a parent or a citizen or a Catholic? It's on your way, please God, to heaven. Read every day some portion of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Read it and read it and read it over and over and over. Let it impress you. Let it penetrate you, stamp you, just like the Holy Spirit did in the sacrament of baptism. And let's pray for the servants who are part of the magisterium, who are giving all kinds of mixed signals. I don't know what else you want. I can think of a lot of things I could say, but I'm in public and I have to watch my... But anyway, pray for this Pope. And pray for certain bishops, especially in Germany, who are in heresy of what the church teaches. And pray for people who need your servanthood, need your truth. You don't have to be someone who compromises just to keep the peace. The road to hell is paved with people who keep their mouth shut just to keep the peace. It's a sin of omission. You simply speak your truth and walk away and let the Holy Spirit take care of the good news that you have shared for the people of the light.